life skills, as they serve to truly free the mind to be capable of anything. In this system, they argued that liberates us not only to express ourselves and the full potential of our minds, but to continue to perpetuate the intellectual traditions that offer insight into both humanity and the perpetuation of society. Now, a liberal arts education, a classical liberal arts education I'll speak to, and because that's the education that I went through at Thomas Aquinas College in California, we exercised our minds while considering the foundations of Western thought and Western society, and then we followed the progression of Western thought from ancient times, and you know, the Western thought's origins in Plato and Aristotle, and followed the progression right up until modern thinkers and times. And doing this in a classical approach meant reading great books and having discussions. The benefit of it was really to allow the students to take on the problems and difficulties of each era throughout history and wrestle with these difficulties under the guidance of a tutor, and then come to an understanding of that era and that difficulty and that thought. And then in the process, we are able to piece together a worldview and a historical philosophical progression. And so obviously this is going to be great for us historically, even without studying history, just to see the thoughts of the different times. But also, in order to do this, you learn a great deal of intellectual discipline. You learn to decode difficult texts and large thoughts, and you learn to put them in your own words. You learn how to debate with your classmates and with others about it while you struggle together to come to answers. The best way to prepare for an education like this is to read books. Read the great books, read difficult books, and question things as you go. Find someone to discuss with. Ideally, find someone where you can say, we're going to read this many pages of this book, we're going to meet at this time, and we're going to have a discussion about it. And this will begin training your mind for this sort of pursuit. Write papers on books you read. They don't have to be long papers. 1,500 words is great. 2,000 words is great. But just practice asking a question, reading a book with this question in mind, or even analyze a book you've read already, and then express it succinctly in a short paper. And this will do wonders for preparing you for a liberal arts degree. Many classical liberal arts colleges will require Latin. So if you're planning to go to that sort of school, I would definitely recommend studying a bit of Latin in advance. It'll just make your life easier at school. Brush up on your math skills. Even a liberal arts degree requires algebra, especially if you're trying to understand Descartes and algebra and figure out how calculus comes about. It's going to be an important skill, so don't say liberal arts students don't need math. They need math. Also, if you're planning to go to school in the United States, I'm sure you've thought about the SAT, but that is definitely something to prepare for. Once you're at a school like this, how do you get the most out of it? You study hard. You do every single reading and every single assignment. You participate in every single class to the best of your ability. With some of these programs, it's possible to get by, but getting by is a waste. Because if you sit in a class and listen to other people's prepared discussions and you write notes, you might as well be at a lecture. The benefit of this sort of an education is that you take it upon yourself to prepare to the best of your ability and come to class ready to help each other learn. Possible that you know something that they don't know and you can teach them, and there will definitely be times when they know something you don't. And this is the beauty of this sort of system. So if you don't prepare sufficiently for class, and if you don't put the effort into the class, it's a one-sided thing, and you really lose the advantage of that discussion method in a classical program. Beyond that, I will say that it is extremely fulfilling to participate in a program like this. When you come to the end of it, you will realize that you have disciplined your mind. You can think clearly. You can analyze clearly. You are no longer intimidated by the world and the thoughts of the world because you have the tools and skills necessary to break it down and understand it and make a counter-argument or maybe agree with it. This education doesn't prepare you for any specific job, but it prepares you for all jobs. The skills you learn will definitely aid you in any career whatsoever. I know people who have gone on to be doctors and lawyers and politicians and even a couple of musicians, and I know people who have gone on to work in the trades, people who have worked in education, anywhere. And every single one of them will say, man, did I sure gain from my liberal arts education. Boy, if I didn't have that, I would be working at this level, but now I can work at this level because I really have developed and liberated my mind and my abilities. So that being said, I will pass it over to the liberal arts schools to tell you about themselves specifically. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate your words. It's a marvelous thing to have a liberal arts education and learn not only content, but learn how to think. My name is Karen Hanlon, and I am on the board of directors of Our Lady Seat of Wisdom in Barry's Bay, Ontario. We are a small liberal arts college, started about 11 years ago, and I've been involved with Our Lady Seat of Wisdom from the very beginning. I am a homeschooling mom of four myself. And when this school was started, my children were very small. But I already knew I wanted them to have a liberal arts education. And I already knew that there was nowhere in Canada that I could send them. So I really was very interested in the beginnings of this little school. I now have my two oldest attending Our Lady Seat of Wisdom full-time. And we actually have a number of students from Wisdom Homeschooling currently at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. We are in a beautiful area of eastern Ontario, about 2.5 hours west of Ottawa. And we were founded with the purpose of making a Catholic liberal arts education accessible to Canadian students at a reasonable price, but with a very high quality of education. We began 11 years ago with only 6 students and 4 staff, and we now have this year 80 full-time students and 16 faculty members, half of which have PhDs. And the small class size is a really beautiful thing at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. We really have strong community there. All of the students know each other, and all of the professors know all of the students, and vice versa. So it's very much a family atmosphere still there. We strive very much for academic excellence. Our bishop specifically mandated us to maintain a high level of academic standards. Our president, Dr. Keith Cassidy, has been 40 years. He has 40 years' experience teaching in Canadian universities and came to us a couple of years ago when our previous president was dying of cancer. And Dr. Cassidy has been a great gift to us, and he is currently guiding us towards full accreditation. That's where we're leading. Right now, we are a 3-year program. And we are hoping to be able to graduate students with degrees at the end of the 2013-2014 school year. That's our aim at the moment. There are a number of hoops to jump through in Ontario for getting provincial accreditation, which is what we have to be able to do to grant degrees there. But we are working on it, and God willing, we will get there. We have a fairly rigorous program. Our first-year students take a core program, which includes all of the subjects you see here, philosophy, theology, which is called Christian doctrine, the history of Western civilization, which is an enormous course from Greece to the, or pre-Greece to the modern day. They take freshman writing, which is very important. All our students actually, if they are not well able to write essays by entering first year, they are by the end of first year. And they take chorus and ethics, logic, and Latin. Now, you don't have to have Latin as a prerequisite to come to Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, but you do have to learn Latin at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. After the first year, at which point you would, the students would get a basic certificate in Christian humanities, second and third year students go on to choose from a wide number of courses, and they are able to then do concentrations in philosophy, theology, history, literature, and church music. Sorry about the funny font. When we switched computers, it changed fonts on me. So I hope you can still read it. And they, for each of these concentrations, we have PhD faculty members who are able to help our students towards what they get their third year certificate in Christian humanities. And from there, they are able to go on to do a fourth year in a growing number of institutions. Our current certificate program is recognized as university-level studies by a growing number of Canadian, American, and international schools. Some of the schools that we are able to go to for just one more year and get the degree, Steubenville, Christendom, Redeemer, Tyndale, the Dominican, Holy Cross, Campion College, Ave Maria, Catholic Distance University, Magdalen College, and also a growing number of other colleges. The way we find out whether or not our credits are accepted at a school, a student needs to request attendance at that school. So we don't go out and seek the colleges ourselves and say, we could be doing that forever and ever. There are so many schools to choose from. So when one of our students, after 3 years, decides they would like to go to another university, we apply on their behalf for acceptance of our credits there. And we have rarely been turned down so far. Our students have gone on to quite a variety of places and are doing quite a variety of things in the world today. One of our co-founders was Michael O'Brien. He is our artist and author in residence. He is a fairly famous Canadian artist and writer. And he and his wife Sheila recognized that there was really the cost of a Catholic liberal arts education was prohibitive for many families. And they wanted, and the other founders with them, wanted to provide somewhere where it was possible for example, families with lots of children to still be able to have their students receive a university-level education in a Catholic setting and not completely break the bank. We have our very low cost for tuition at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. At the moment, tuition is under $6,000 for a year, and room and board is just over $5,000 for a year. And we're only able to do that through the great generosity of our donors, because we are a charitable organization, and also our faculty and staff who work for sacrificially low salaries. And the other thing that's very important to mention is that Our Lady Seat of Wisdom runs on divine providence. That is the main thing about us. I would say that's one of our great charisms. It is the Lord's school. We're only there because of him, and we're only there for him. And he keeps us going and keeps us depending upon him. Then the admission requirements for homeschoolers for Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. It's a wonderful transition school for homeschoolers. I can say that, being a homeschooling mom and having two of my own children there. A high percentage, an unusually high percentage of our students were homeschooled. I am also involved with the student services, and one of my jobs this year was to give a talk on essay writing, test taking, and note-taking skills. So before I gave this talk, I wanted to find out how many of our first-year students had note-taking experience. And so I asked anyone homeschooled, please raise your hand. I nearly fell over because I knew we had a lot, but I didn't know we had that many. I would say about 80% of the students in the room raised their hands. I was very surprised. So if you, as a homeschooler, come to Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, you will be in good company. There will be a lot of others like you. The requirements, I wish the script was a little different, but anyway, the requirements, it says completion of grade 12, but that is in any flexible homeschooling program. I, for one, designed my own homeschooling program. I picked and chose what I felt would be the best courses for my own children. And then I had to put together a transcript for them, which was very important. So I had to put the title of each course and what textbooks they used, which books they read, and a description of what they did, how I did the evaluation, and a letter grade and a number grade. But I could do my own, and it was accepted. Also, you need a high school diploma. But I did mine on the computer, and that was fine. The main requirement is the completion of Our Lady Seat of Wisdom Academy application. Now, in that application, there are 5 essays. One has to be an essay that you did for some high school subject. And other than that, they have essays ranging from questions like why I would like to go to Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, how I feel about my schooling this far, and so on. There are 4 other ones besides your one that you have to have from school. A lot is based on your essays. It is important, preparing for Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, to be able to write a good essay, to be able to organize yourself and write a good essay. The other requirements are flexible. I heard earlier some question about how old you have to be. At Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, you, as long as you are able to do the work and you have completed a homeschooled or regular school, grade 12, you can enter full-time. Both of my children entered, they were 16 when they entered. So they were ready at that point. They had started a bit early, and so it is possible to attend at 16, although my son turned 17 very early into the program. You do need to be ready, but there isn't really an age requirement. Okay. The other thing that is primary about Our Lady Seat of Wisdom is that we are authentically Catholic. We were started through Catholic families wanting a solid Catholic education for their children. We are faithful to the magisterium of the Church, and our professors take the oath of fidelity to the magisterium, to the bishop, every year. He comes, and all our professors vow to be faithful to the Church in everything that they teach. And that's very rare in the world today, very rare. We also have a very close relationship with our local bishop and our local parish. The bishop supports us, and he comes and says Mass for us. In this picture, he's actually come to play hockey with our students. on a Friday evening. Our students play hockey every Friday, and our bishop likes hockey, so he sometimes comes and plays hockey with them. Here he is saying Mass in our beautiful parish church. We're very blessed. We are on the grounds of St. Hedwig's Parish. Our main building was the convent, originally the convent on that property, and the parish has welcomed us with open arms. We're very grateful. And it's a very beautiful church. The spiritual life at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom is very rich and varied. We have daily Mass, sometimes more than once a day, guest speakers, adoration, pilgrimages. Our students go on a pilgrimage to the martyr's shrine, to the place where Jean de Brebeuf was martyred every year. And there's daily rosary at the parish and at the school. Lots of different opportunities for growing in your spiritual life. We have a fabulous music program there. Uwe Lieflander, Maestro Uwe Lieflander, who did the music for World Youth Day in Toronto, came to be on the faculty of Our Lady Seat of Wisdom and teaches incredible music for our students. They recently have done the Mozart's Requiem Mass in the context of a Tridentine Mass with orchestra. Beautiful. And they do the Messiah every year with orchestra and things like that. Our students get a lot of beautiful opportunities to sing really good music. Okay, we also have a drama program. Every year we put on one major production, and students can get a credit for it. And this last year we did Oliver, and it was wonderful that even Mr. Bumble there is one of our professors. The community, everyone can be involved in the play. You don't have to be taking it as a subject, and everyone is welcome to audition for the different plays that we have. Oh, one more? Okay. As Simon said, we don't own liberal arts education is not only book learning and is not only, like, you do need to know maths and sciences. Here's biology students doing quite a variety of things with hands-on, getting in there with biology. And we also have mathematics and different things that Simon was mentioning in terms of the sciences as well as arts. Sports is popular at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. We don't have any organized intramural sports, things like that, because we're often a small place and there really isn't anyone to compete with. But our students organize a lot of sports themselves. We have volleyball, soccer, indoor hockey, outdoor hockey, skating on the Rideau Canal, and quite a variety of things. My time is short, so I will answer more questions about sports if you have more questions, and I can let you know more about what we do there. But we have quite a variety of things to do. Hiking is beautiful around our area, and this year we started the Pier Giorgio Frassati Outdoors Club, to organize activities for our students to take advantage of the beauty of our surroundings. And the student life on our campus is very, very rich and beautiful. Because so many of our students are from similar backgrounds, although we have quite a variety, really, still, they are all from the same mindset. Our students are there to learn, to grow in their faith, to love the Lord, so they develop very close friendships that will last the rest of their lives. Our students live in residences, which are similar to households. They make great friendships there. They live like a family, although all the meals are eaten in the parish hall, in common in the parish hall. The students they have a residence assistant and a proctor at each of the residences, and they are overseen by the dean of students. The students would spend time together in their homes, praying together and relaxing together, and there's an incredible amount of activities planned for students on campus. So there's a very rich and varied social life on campus. There's more residences, students enjoying themselves together in their from their families. Preparation for life. Our Lady Seat of Wisdom is not just a school to prepare you for a career, although it is able to get you on the road to a career. It is not only career preparation. We have had, we have at the moment, 8 of our former students, remembering that we've only been around for 11 years. This is our 11th year. We have 8 men studying for the priesthood, former students. We have 2 Cistercian nuns. We have 2 sisters in other convents. We have actually the Sisters of Our Lady Immaculate are students at our school. So they send their sisters to us for education. Even our parish priest has taken courses at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom because he said that he realizes there were some things lacking in his own education in the seminary, and he has come to Our Lady Seat of Wisdom to get better grounded. We also have students of all ages attending Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. We have a girl this year who has her electrician ticket. She's 26 years old, working for good money, but she wanted what she didn't get. She wanted to have the grounding in her faith and the background that a liberal arts education would give her in a Catholic setting. We have, actually, if you go back one, Therese. That's okay. The other thing that we have, our students attend the March for Life every year. We have a pro-life club. And also, I think I had to laugh when the young people were doing their activity this afternoon at lunchtime, and they were talking about why would someone go to go get a higher degree if their goal was to get married in life. And they said, well, maybe they'll meet the special someone there. That has happened over and over and over and over at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. We have had at least 14 solid Catholic marriages come out of the last 10 years of school at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. And it's true. They're there with people who they know they can live with for the rest of their lives, people who share their ideals, share their faith. And it's very beautiful what happens. So, to close, Our Lady Seat of Wisdom is preparation for life, preparation for not only life in this world, but life in the next. And that's really where we're all headed. So thank you for listening.
Again, I think we'll take questions at the end, so let's go to Mr. Six.
Hello. Thank you for coming today. My name is Patrick Six, and I'm an admissions counselor at Thomas Aquinas College in Santa Paula, California, which is located about an hour and a half north of Los Angeles, but very much in Southern California. So it's nice and warm down there. It was actually about 75 degrees when I left the other day. So a big change from here. But so Thomas Aquinas College was started in 1971, and the founders of Thomas Aquinas College had basically taken a look at where liberal education was in the 60s and decided that it needed some reform, and so they started Thomas Aquinas College, which is a small Catholic classical liberal arts education involving the great books and the Socratic method. So there are basically 3 main aspects to the college that make us very unique, especially because all of these aspects are together. You often find one or another in various colleges, but not usually will you find them all together. And so the first is our Catholic identity. We have a very strong Catholic identity at Thomas Aquinas College. We're not just Catholic in name, but we really live and practice our faith. And there's plenty of opportunity for the students to really strengthen their faith while they're studying there. Now, you don't have to be Catholic to attend. We accept people of all faiths. However, probably about 85 to 90% of the students are Catholic. However, those that are not Catholic tend to fit in very well. After all, in a classical liberal arts education such as the one we have at Thomas Aquinas College, people are generally all there for the same reason, and that is that they want to study the great books. They want to, and they ultimately want to search for truth. And so, if you have that in common, then you're all gonna get along just fine. But we have a beautiful new chapel on campus that we just finished in 2009. We offer Mass in the chapel 3 times a day. We have confessions available before and after every Mass. We have adoration and benediction every day, all-night adoration once a month, rosary every night. We have two chaplains that reside on campus that are always there for spiritual direction. And all the faculty members take an oath of magisterium to the Catholic Church. So the Catholic faith is something that's being, you know, taught correctly in the education as well. So that's kind of the first aspect of the college, you know. So it's a very strong Christian atmosphere that all the students are living in, which is very, very supportive of students who want to continue to really live and practice their faith while they're studying in college. The second aspect of Thomas Aquinas College that makes us very unique is the fact that we use the Great Books program. So we don't use any textbooks. Instead, we go straight back to the original sources and see what these great men and women had to say themselves instead of reading somebody else's interpretation or somebody else's opinion of that. Why not go back and form our own opinions? And so, for those of you who are doing the wisdom classical online courses, if you like those, you'll probably like the classes that we have at TAC. They're very similar. So we'll be studying similar books. So original works like, we'll start kind of back in the Greek time period. We'll do, you know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, books like that, study Aristotle and Plato. And then over time, we kind of progress with those as the thinking progresses in Western civilization. And eventually, by senior year, we're studying some modern philosophers and things like that. So that's kind of the second aspect of the program. And there are no, it is just one academic program, by the way. There are no majors or minors or electives. So everybody kind of takes the same set curriculum over the 4 years. And it all ends up getting you a Bachelor of Arts degree in liberal arts. If you were to stack up the credits compared to another college to kind of see how it would compare, it'd be basically equivalent to a double major in philosophy and theology with a minor in the history of math and science. So it's a pretty intense education, pretty rigorous. Now the third aspect is the discussion method. So we don't have any lectures as a part of our program in the classroom. Instead, we use the Socratic method of discussion, in our classrooms, we usually have between 12 and 17 students that will be sitting around kind of a rounded table with the professor, who we call a tutor, at the head of the table, who will lead the class in the discussion, and he'll usually lead by asking questions and kind of, you know, kind of just nudging the students in the right direction. But it's really the students themselves that get to take an active role in their learning experience in the classroom, really get to ask those important questions that are inevitably going to come up from these great works that they're reading. And so they have the opportunity to search for the true answers to those all-important questions. And these are, you know, these aren't trivial questions. These are we'll often be considering questions involving the nature of humanity and of nature and of God. And those are things that are very important to understand as as human beings, as well-rounded human beings. So there are always important questions that we're considering in the classroom. And you know, why would you want to listen to somebody lecture to you about those questions that come up about in these great books and tell you, you know, this is how it is. Now memorize it and write it back down on an exam. When you can, you know, you probably are going to have a ton of questions about about the truth of the thing. And so that's what we give the students the opportunity to do. As a result, as well, going through that process in the classroom every day, the students become habituated to reasoning in a very thoughtful, analytical way, which is something that they're going to be able to use in any part of their life. So that's something that's going to be invaluable to you as a person, as being a well-rounded person, but also it's something that's going to be very helpful in a career. So those are the three main aspects of the program that make us very unique. Now, as a result of this liberal arts education, and as a result of those kind of critical thinking skills that you get through this education, our graduates go on to do a number of different things. So as Simon said, it doesn't prepare you for a specific job, but it prepares you for all jobs, basically. So you kind of have the fundamental reasoning skills that allow you to do anything. Now, if you want to do something really technical, say engineering, you know, you're not going to have the technical, like math and science skills to get there right away. You're going to have to go back to school, take a few more, you know, prerequisite math and science classes or something. But there are other courses, there are other professions that it is a very good preparation for. I mean, it's a good preparation for engineering as well, because you got to be a problem solver there. But other professions where it's gonna lead you there much more directly. Now, just a few numbers. About 30% of our graduates go into education. Some of them go straight out after graduating from TAC and start teaching at the high school level, grade school level. Others go get higher degrees in things like philosophy or theology, literature, history, things like that, and then teach at a higher level. Either way. About 20% of our graduates go into business. About 10% of our graduates go into law. This type of education is actually very good pre-law type of education. Basically every day in the classroom, you're formulating arguments and disproving other people's arguments and things like that. So you're kind of being a lawyer in class every day almost. Then about 8 to 10% of our students enter the religious life, and then after that it breaks down into a number of other things. And some of the other popular ones are medicine, nursing, architecture, psychology, engineering, and many, many others. So that just gives you a little bit of a taste of what our graduates can do. Now, just a couple other things that I want to touch on before I'm out of time here. Admissions requirements. We, as far as admissions requirements go, we like to see, of course, we would need a high school transcript, and we have plenty of homeschoolers that come through our program, so we're no stranger to your situations. In fact, we get a good number of Wisdom homeschoolers, a handful every year. I graduated in 2009, and I think there were at least four or five Wisdom homeschoolers that graduated with me from TAC that year. So we would need a high school transcript, which what you can put together would be fine. We would need three letters of reference. So you would hopefully want to have, you know, teachers outside the family in one respect or another that would be able to write those references. Also, SAT or ACT scores, we accept both, but we do require those. And I think lastly, we have about five essays that we would ask you to write, and those touch on various questions, which kind of give us a sense of who you are, what your background is, and what your interest in liberal education, especially liberal education at Thomas Aquinas College, is. So as far as what we're looking for when we get an application, we primarily are looking at those essays because we want to make sure that you understand the type of education that you're applying for. And it's a very unique education, so we want to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into, that it's really what you want. So that's the primary thing there. Secondarily, we want to make sure that you have the academic qualifications to be able to succeed, because you can't drop any classes or anything. So as far as that goes, we like to see for SAT scores, for example, we'd like to see a minimum of 510 on the math and a minimum of 570 on the verbal. So that gives you a little bit of a sense of what our minimum requirements are there as well. But once again, the essays are the most important thing, and we take into account every part of the application. So financial aid is something that's important to consider when you're looking into colleges. And we have a very good financial aid program at Thomas Aquinas College. We don't offer any aid based on merit, but we offer aid based on need. So if you have financial need, that's something that we do our best to help you out with. And basically the way that works is we ask the parents to make a maximum effort to give what they can afford to give, and then we would take a small student payment, which would be, you know, about $1,800 a year or something, easy to make over the summer, from the student. And then the student will also do a work study about 13 hours a week at the school. And then the student would take out a small amount in loans, which usually would not exceed $15,000 over the whole 4 years, which is very, very low, especially for a private education in the U.S. And then after that, basically any other deficit that is there, the financial aid kicks in and takes care of the rest of it. So it's also a very good financial aid program there. We take into account when we're assessing how much we think you can afford to pay, we take into account all different kinds of factors, like how many children you have in school that you're paying for, and all sorts of things like that. So definitely keep that in mind. Lastly, I just want to mention that the best way to get a sense of any school and whether it's a good fit for you is to come visit if you have the chance. Now, California, I know, is pretty far away, but you can do it. I grew up in the Northeast U.S., so it was farther for me, and I made it out there. And it's a beautiful place, so, you know, you can even make a vacation of it or something. But there are a couple different ways you can come visit. One is we do visits throughout the school year, you know, we'll put you up in a dorm room for 2 or 3 days with a current student. You can get a sense for the dorm life, the campus life, and sit in on classes and see what those are like. The other way is for any of you that are in 11th grade or below, we have a high school program which is a 2-week program in the summer for 11th graders entering 12th grade. And that's a great way to get an inside look at what it's like to be a student there, and I can tell you more about that later if you have questions. And I'm sure there are many, many other things that I have not touched on, so we can certainly talk about that. So feel free to ask questions during the Q&A. As well, I have plenty of information that I can give you back at my table back there, so feel free to stop by throughout the afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick. We're going to extend this session a little longer than the original schedule, so just simply because of the number of presenters we have here as opposed to our next one. So now, Nicole Dunn from Living Water College.
Good afternoon. I think you just know how long I'm going to talk, don't you? My name is Nicole Dunn. I am representing Living Water College of the Arts. A number of you may know about us a little bit because we're located near Wisdom Homeschooling out in Derwent, which is about 2 hours east of here. nestled out in the country. The college is actually there is a building out there. It's a full facility and houses what we now run as short programs. So basically, Living Water College is a school for artists, which promotes advanced technical study intermingled with intellectual discipline and the fostering of personal faith. So in a way, we're a bit of a compilation of the schools that you've heard who have talked to you this afternoon, because we don't only focus on, such as the Bible colleges, focus on helping you foster and really grow in your spiritual and personal faith life, or look at your particular artistic technical ability and help that develop, but we also add a liberal arts arm in there as well. But we intermingle all of these studies together so that each one can help the others grow, and each will therefore expound upon the others. The reason that we came into existence is because there were many good, technically advanced artistic schools that artists could go to for a variety of interests, whether it's visual art or performance art, if you want to get into media, that sort of thing. But at many of these schools, students were found to lose their faith, lose their idea of morality, have an idea of what objective truth was, because they just focus on more of the inspirational emotion that can come forward from artists, which is a wonderful and inspired tool, but if it's not properly directed, it won't be able to really assist the artist in communicating what they really want to communicate. So we thought that the best way to answer this need would be to provide a program which also helps your intellect grow, so it teaches you right thinking. So very much the liberal arts classical education that Patrick just talked about, this idea to actually grapple with difficult thoughts and the truths that are objective, as well as just also combining a good community life and focusing on people that will really help make you become a better artist. And so this integration may be normal for many of you because you come from very solid families, but in the independent, when you're out in the independent world, you tend to isolate, especially artists, tend to be isolated in their art, their intellect, and their faith, and so you end up becoming part of a world where it really relies on your discipline to be able to integrate all of these ideas together. So again, Living Water College is a place which helps you do that throughout some of the most formative years of your life. As I said before, the college is located out in the country. Our dream is to run a 3-year degree-granting collegiate level program. Right now, we're fundraising for that program and just working toward that stability. So we are currently running short course programs, which contain the intrinsic elements of our full course program. So what we would like to be able to offer is a variety of artistic studies. So whether you're interested in painting, drawing, sculpting, or want to go into acting, directing, or even into more of the media arts, such as computer graphics and photography, that sort of thing. We'd like to be able to offer all of those pursuits to artists because there isn't, again, another school out there that is there to offer you these tools. But until we're to that point, these short programs will really help to either, one, determine whether or not you're interested in pursuing that particular art more fully, or two, just for personal development. You'll be able to really, if you've always had a dream that you'd just like to take some time and see if you'd be a good actor, or you'd like to learn how to paint, these programs would be quite good for you. So just a few details about them. This is our third year of running short course programs. We run throughout the summer. This year we're offering 3 programs, 2 in visual arts and 1 in dramatic studies. Our first program is on iconography, which is basically sacred image painting, and that runs for 2 weeks in May. Our second program is a theater program, and that runs for 2 weeks in July. And then our final program is just a program on basic painting and drawing. It really focuses on one-on-one instruction, and that runs for 2 weeks in August. And what you can expect to gain from these programs are technical skill training. So if you're thinking about going into them further, they'll really help with your experience and your portfolio, really give you something to work for there. Particularly in the painting and drawing course, if you're thinking of going into that one, you will leave this program with at least 3 works of art. So we're talking about quite an intense, rigorous 2-week schedule. So you're really, it's not just a workshop. It's really, it's a live-in experience, which can give you tools that you'll be able to use for further education. We also have a number of professionals that are associated with the college now, even though they're not there full-time because we don't run full-time. They do come in and generously help us with or instruct with their experience and their technique for all the students to really gain from their world experience. And it's a great time to focus as well. Again, if you're just thinking of either one, pursuing a new craft or taking the time to work on a craft that you're already pursuing. 2 weeks is an excellent time just to be able to have the space and I guess the mental space as well, that, so that you aren't distracted by other goings on in your world, but you can just focus on pursuing this art. And the community life at the college, even though it's we typically have approximately 12 to 15 students in the past 2 years that we've been running, the community life is actually very close. We've received quite a lot of feedback about how important that was to our students' experience. And this, again, is just something that really helps foster your overall educational informative life. You know, half the learning is done outside the classroom. So the kind of community that you're with should be one that you want to surround yourself with the right principles and the morals that you'd like to see yourself pursuing in later life. Our entrance requirements for these programs are basically we're looking at students that are higher high school age through adults, and you should have an artistic development interest in one of the studies that we offer. Our applications are fairly simple. Some of them require essays or auditions if you're looking into the theater program, but just talk to us. We're very open to students from a variety of backgrounds. And I think I've basically kind of covered where we are now. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But you'll probably see us in the Wisdom Magazine from time to time, so keep in touch with us as we grow. Thank you.
We'll take some time now to ask some questions. This mother would like to know if those Wisdom Online classes actually help when these students get to Seat of Wisdom or Thomas Aquinas. How does it help them once they're there?
Well, speaking from the Wisdom students that I've seen at Our Lady Seat of Wisdom, they do exceedingly well in the classes because they're already able to analyze pieces of literature, so they are able to write good essays, even if they aren't really experienced in writing essays before, they're able to think clearly, and so they're able to very quickly learn to write good essays. The Wisdom students that we have had have been near the top of the class pretty well.
I don't know how long Wisdom's been doing these online classical classes, but if any of the students that I went, Wisdom students that I went to TAC with did them, it definitely showed because they were all very good students. And I do know for sure that students that have had a background in the classics or in some studying some of the great books previously, or have had classes that have involved discussion, have generally been much better students at TAC because they've already had, you know, some of that preparation. So it definitely helps, that's for sure.
Yeah, interestingly, the students that you went to school with were part of, they were the guinea pigs.
Okay.
They were among the first years of the online courses.
Okay.
But yeah, they got the introductory great books and those kinds of courses. I had a question for Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom. It comes across as extremely Catholic. Would non-Catholic students be uncomfortable in that environment at all or feel out of place?
I don't think so. We have had non-Catholic students at Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom before. And although our teaching is from a Catholic perspective, it's they're taught material, they're taught in a comfortable atmosphere. It's not pushed at all. The daily mass is available, but it's not mandatory. There is a weekly mass that's mandatory, but again, I think it's a pretty comfortable atmosphere for anybody who would like to come and get a liberal arts education. It's not, I haven't noticed that any of our non-Catholic students have felt threatened at all being there.
That begs the question, is doctrine taught at school at all, or is it mostly philosophy, theology, generally?
Doctrine is taught, and it is a mandatory course in first year. So they will have to hear what Catholic doctrine is. There's lots of opportunity for discussion. Actually, that was one of our best discussion courses. The professor's a very lively instructor and quite open to a lot of discussion. But yeah, they don't necessarily have to, or they give them an opportunity to argue and compare, but not necessarily have anything forced upon them. But they do have to learn it.
Yes.
To all three of the speakers, or whoever wants to answer it, what is the attitude that you look for most in the students? What's the mindset that you think helps the students the best in the colleges?
Okay, so the question is, what mindset on the part of the student makes them successful, basically, right, at these colleges?
For Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom, I would say it's a student who really would like to learn, who would like to really get into the material and understand their faith or understand the material that they're learning and is willing to participate in the life of the school.
For Thomas Aquinas College, I'd say it's definitely students who love the truth, students who love to ask questions, and who have a wonder always within them, because that's something that is going to really help you to appreciate the education when you're there. If you don't care about answers to questions, whether they're true or not, then you're not going to participate in class and you're not going to get the most out of the education. So if you're the type of person that loves to ask those questions and you're always looking to seek the truth, that's what we're looking for. Also, if you love philosophy and theology, you love literature, there's a lot of that in the program.
And I'd really echo that, and particularly for us at least, it's this idea of integration. Like if you really want to be balanced in your life. You know, you can't just focus on one thing or another, but you have to work your mind as well as your spiritual aspect, and for us, the artistic ability as well. So it's this idea that there are a number of priorities that need to be on the same plane because they're all equally important. You know, that's a question we've received a number of times, and we're really... Oh, sorry. She asked, what does Living Water College provide music-wise? And we're looking into being able to offer some type of musical program. Right now, we don't have any. It's more visual and dramatic art. But we're looking into the possibility of what it would take to do, for example, score work or singing, vocal workshops, that sort of thing. Instrumentally, it's a little more difficult because of the variety of instruments that you have out there. What particularly are you interested in? Okay. violin and singing. So it's just good to know what the need is as well. Because we're such a new college, we like to know what needs we can answer in the artistic world. So do come talk to me if you want to know further information or if you have suggestions. So we're working on the music area.
What we're living water, why do you have to be 18?
You think I'd get this by now. It's only been a number of people before me. Basically, we're looking for a maturity standard. So we're not tied to 18 as the number of years you have to have been alive. But it's a community life. Since it's lived experience, we really need the community to work together and for the students to be responsible for themselves, for their schedules, for various work duties and the studies. So if you're not 18, I'll still encourage you to apply, where you look on all applications as on a case-by-case basis. So come see me, get an application, and I can give you more information on any program you might be interested in. But if you are below 18, just do come talk to me, because we are looking more for that maturity standard than a certain age range.
Just speak with maturity. Question for TAC, is there any application process besides being grade 11 or less to get into the summer program?
There is. It's pretty minimal. Basically, there's an application form that the student applying would be required to fill out, which is basic information, as well as, I guess, there's a short essay in answer to the question, why do they want to attend the summer program, basically. And so that's that, in addition to their transcript, high school transcript for 9th and 10th grade of high school. And that would be all that's necessary. No SAT scores or anything are necessary for the summer program.
One other question, cost or accommodation for that?
Cost and accommodation?
The cost for the summer program is $975, which I guess these days is pretty close to the Canadian dollar, right? That is almost all-inclusive. The only thing it doesn't include is your basically your transportation to Los Angeles and back, to your flight to the airport and back. However, we'll even pick up the students at LAX airport and bring them up to the campus. That cost also includes your room and the students' room and board during the 2 weeks of the program, their books, their meals. We go on a number of trips during the summer program. We go to Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, go to the beach, go to a concert, a museum, things like that. It includes the tickets for all those programs and the bus rides and all that sort of stuff. So it's a good deal. Yeah.
Do you have to be that young?
Do you have to be what? Sorry.
That young.
That young. Unfortunately, yes. You could apply to be a staff member if you want.
But a question that is begged is, why not students who are in grade 12?
Occasionally, we'll allow for a student that's in grade 12 to attend the summer program, as well as occasionally we'll let a student that's lower than grade 11 attend the program. But those we would take their particular situations into account and decide whether they'd be eligible or not. Generally, students that are in grade 12, we would not allow into the program because they're already going to be applying to. Generally, they're already going to be applying to colleges. So if they already have, you know, if that's the summer before they're going to be attending a college, then there's no reason for them to attend our program, because our program is essentially a way for students to see if Thomas Aquinas College is a good fit for them, and vice versa, to see if they're going to be a good fit, they're going to be a good fit for us. So if a student has already decided where they're going to college, then there's no need for them to attend the program.
So if a student can demonstrate that they haven't decided on another college, they could conceivably come in grade 12?
Yes. Students who are considering taking a year off after high school before attending college and are looking into applying to Thomas Aquinas College would be eligible to attend. So that sort of thing can be worked out.
See if I can repeat this question. A typical university course in philosophy will have certain objectives. And the question is, are there specific objectives to your philosophy courses, or do you just go where the discussion leads you?
I think there are particular objectives or conclusions that are oftentimes reached in those classes. Even though it's mostly given to discussion. I mean, because we don't, for example, we limit the amount of time that we'll spend on a particular text. So we'll start, you know, with Aristotle's Prior Analytics and kind of get the fundamentals of logic from that book. And then from there, we'll kind of use those fundamentals of logic in considering other types of philosophy and other philosophical considerations. And so we'll progress through these texts, considering different questions that will come up along the way, how in-depth into answering those questions and considering those questions we get will depend on how the discussions go. But we will spend the time considering all of the important questions that do come up from the several works that we read throughout the years.
Our Lady Seat of Wisdom is not specifically a great books program. We do go back to the original documents and discuss them, but ours is a lecture program rather than a discussion program. There is discussion in the classes, but there is also lecture. So it is definitely aimed at teaching them certain things.
What about transportation? You're a little bit off the beaten track. So students who are coming from afar, like Alberta and BC and other places, what happens with the students in terms of being able to actually come and go at Christmas time?
This mother would like to know if she happened to send a child there, if there would be ease of transportation. How would this child get to the middle of nowhere in Ontario and back home, say, for Christmas? Is that what you meant?
Yes. We offer transportation. We offer to go and pick up students from the airport 2.5 hours away and to return them to the airport. We will try to get students to arrange their flights so that a number of them are leaving on the same day, and we'll do a shuttle service to get them to the airport, anybody who needs to go.
Well, this is good timing. This will keep us on schedule. I find it interesting that it tends to be Catholic institutions that are classical institutions. I'm gratified that, you know, not only Catholic students can go there. In fact, I know a number of students from TAC who are from various backgrounds and weren't intimidated at all, in fact, quite challenged to grow in their own faith. But it's an interesting situation that occurs with the classical education. It seems to be it's either got to be Christian, or if it isn't, and we have examples of that in our culture of classical universities that aren't Christian, and they tend to cause degradation, if you will, a lot of personal problems that come from looking at the big questions without a spiritual, perspective, whatever that perspective is. Thank you very much for taking the time for being here. Certainly, these reps will be here for the rest of this afternoon, so take an opportunity to talk to them. Thank you very much. Thank you.